Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
It's been a very common theme here at KKHI over the last several months. We have talked about the worst since 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Things like inflation, crime rates, prices of oil, gas. I mean, you name it. It's just been one thing after another. We go back and we say this is the worst since X years. We've now hit another milestone that is absolutely alarming and shocking, and I did not know this, and I guess I wasn't really familiar with a lot of the percentages of this next statistic, but it is an alarming graph that I saw online this week. CBS News has reported that they've done some fact-finding and digging about not crime rates, because we know crime is up. This is across the board, so we know crime is up. We've seen it. We've seen it for every metric. Violent crimes, sexual crimes, we're seeing it everywhere. And we understand why this is occurring. We had all the riots a few years ago. Nothing was done to the people who rioted. We're defunding police everywhere. Big story this week, West Hollywood, one of the fanciest places in America, has decided they're going to take money away from the sheriff's department there, even though they have record crime. We're seeing mistakes made at all turns about stopping crime or improving the crime rate, bringing it down, making America safer for all of us. But this is probably the one that explains it most, and I was just completely unaware of this. We have right now the lowest murder conviction rate in the United States in my lifetime, basically 50 years. And that's as long as they've done this. I mean, they didn't have the stats going back because the conviction rate was even higher back then. This is shocking. This is American cities, U.S. cities. So we take, I guess, rural areas out of this, or smaller towns or whatever. These are United States cities. If you commit a murder in a United States city today, there is only a 50-50 chance that you are ever caught and prosecuted. 50-50. Remarkable. It has never been this low. It used to be 90%. 50 years ago, it was 90%. If you shot and killed somebody in a city, there was a 90% chance you were... Think of all the technology we have now. We see these things on video and can't catch people. It is absolutely remarkable. So we were running about 90%, and now we're down to 50%. So that's a 50-50 shot. You want to go kill somebody, there's only a 50% chance you're going to get caught and go to jail. In Chicago, it is worse than that. If you are one of the people who shoots and kills somebody in Chicago, and there are multiple shooting deaths every week in Chicago, record death rate, there's only a 25% chance you will be caught and prosecuted. 25%. If you don't think people know in Chicago that if they're mad at somebody, if a drug deal goes wrong or if something happens, and you know, whatever it may be, that they're going to go take vengeance on their own. If you think these people don't know there's only a 1 in 4 chance they're going to be caught and prosecuted, think again. They know they're getting away with it. In the streets of Chicago, they know people that have killed people, and they know who they are, and nobody talks to police, and nobody gives anybody up, and nobody gets convicted. And there doesn't seem to be much of a priority on this anywhere. All we get is talk. We get talk all the time in major cities. This week, just an unbelievable event takes place in New York, on the Upper East Side of New York City. A 20-year-old mother is pushing her 3-month-old baby in a stroller when she is executed by somebody dressed in all black, walks up, shoots her, and kills her. A shocking story. This is a part of New York, and I don't know how many of you have been. I'm no expert on New York, but I've been multiple times. The Upper East Side has long had some of the most expensive residences on Manhattan Island. It is known as a billionaire's hangout, but it is a very strange and unique American place. You literally have billionaires on one block and complete abject failure and poverty on the next. It is all interspersed. And theoretically, 20-year-old woman walking a 3-month-old baby could have been a billionaire or somebody in the projects in this place. There's no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing really what this crime is at this point. So we see these stats. We know how bad we are at prosecuting this. We know how terrible we are at putting people in jail. We know that there is no appetite by the people in charge right now to convict real criminals, violent criminals. They're too busy running around doing white-collar thought crimes. If you are with the wrong party or think the wrong things about leadership in cities or in certain states or in the United States of America with the federal government, they will come after you. But if you shoot and kill somebody, that's just not a priority. And the numbers show this. This is not hyperbole. The numbers reflect it. And I think it will be interesting to see what happens in New York with this case, because what do we get? What is the only thing we get in these big cities? And from the feds at this point, what is the we get no action. Nothing changes. Nobody, you know, implements crackdowns and says we're moving money in the budget. We're going to start prosecuting these homicides and we're going to lock the people up, because you're, if you've done it once and gotten away with it, you're probably more likely than somebody else to go do it again. Anybody can figure that out. So what do they do in New York? Well, this murder was just a couple of blocks from Gracie Mansion, which is the mayor's residence. Now, he doesn't feel in any danger. He's got security around his residence. He's got all kinds of people with guns protecting him. He's good. What does he do? They have a news conference in the streets right by where it happened. Mayor comes out, all these people. He blames too many guns on the street. It's exactly right. Now, I'll bet you dollar to donuts here that this wasn't a legal gun anyway. If they ever catch this guy and find the weapon, I'll bet you it was not a legal gun. Okay, so we can scratch that one, because New York has all the gun laws. New York City has all the gun laws, and they can't stop any of this. It's so clear that gun laws don't stop this. What stops this is prosecutors, good policing and prosecutors. And eventually, when everyone in New York, Chicago, LA, some of these Kansas City, we know the zip codes, and we know where this is happening, when they all start to see the people perpetrating these crimes going to jail for life, guess what? The murder rate comes down. But while they know somebody that lives down the street that shot and killed somebody over a drug deal or whatever it may be, not caught, not prosecuted, not in jail, it doesn't do anything to slow the violence. And this is hyper-partisan, and I'll admit this is hyper-partisan, but there is a stat that I want to know, and I'm going to enlist you as the enlisted personnel of the KKHI Army to find this. I've done a brief search. I'm going to spend more time on this. We can find these crime statistics. We can see that the prosecution rate here is the lowest in 50 years. You have a 75% chance of getting away with murder in Chicago. We can see these statistics. It is also easy to find statistics by zip code, where the murders occur. They're in large cities in America. The overwhelming number of murders, homicides in America are in our largest cities. We know the zip codes. We know the gender. We know the average age. We know the race. We know the religion. We know everything about all of this. There's all kinds of science. Follow the science. There's all kinds of science, data, and statistics on where our crime problems are in this country and who it's affecting most. Do you want to know something I've never seen? And I know we can get this. Not every murderer you'll be able to look this up, but there would be a wide enough database to where we're talking about thousands of people that we could find out, thousands of convicted murderers in major cities. I want to see political affiliation. I want to see it. If we're going to have gun debates, defunding police, allowing riots to take place, if we're going to allow this conversation to take place, because the answer on the left is always, let's have a conversation about, and then you fill in the blank. That's exactly right. They like conversations. They don't like action. Not going to do anything about this. If we saw, what would you get? Can I guess? Is it okay? It's my podcast. I can guess, right? I can guess. If we take those convicted murderers in major cities in the United States, and we went back and looked and said, who'd you vote for? Most recent election that they voted, we have that data. We know who that would be. We know who they voted for. This is easy for the FBI, the CIA, Department of Justice to find out. And by the way, once you've killed somebody and you're convicted, Your privacy rights aren't what they once were. This is important data. What do you think it would be? I'm going 80%, at least 80% Democrat voters. And I don't know what that says, and I don't know what that means, but I do think it identifies where our problems are. I don't know what could be done. I don't have all the answers to fix it. But I do think the first step in any of this is not a conversation. It is never a conversation. A conversation is never the answer. We got streets burning and mayhem and murders taking place. The answer is not sitting down at a table in the community outreach and having a conversation. That's never going to do it. We know what the answer is. The answer is law and order. The answer is always law and order. The way to attain law and order first is to identify the problem. Who is it we're trying to crack down on? What is it? And I don't see how we can spend so much time talking about race, gender, age, zip codes, income, religion, poverty, whatever it may be, when we're identifying and targeting, hey, this is where the violence is in America and we've got to stop it. I don't see how we can do that and just anymore skip past political affiliation. Why would we do that? Why can't we identify that and let the American people know where the problem is? Why can't we? I think that would be an important thing. And I don't know why some of these national candidates, if let's say Ron DeSantis runs for president in 24, why wouldn't he find that number? Why wouldn't he put that out there? Why wouldn't you paint the other party as the party of crime? That you're the problem. Why wouldn't you tell Americans that? That seems like a really simple story to tell. And when you do it that way, you're not talking about race or gender or any of these other age, zip codes, poverty, you're not. Why would you not want to identify that by political affiliation? I think that would be a very strong card for conservatives everywhere, but it's just a sad and tragic thing. Can you imagine 20-year-old mom pushing a stroller down the seat? She's basically executed. Dude just walks up and executes her, pushing her baby. That is a place where billionaires, some of the richest people in the world, and globalists here, not all Americans, there's all kinds of Saudi princes that have residences there on the Upper East Side, and you know, global billionaires, oligarchs from Russia, I'm sure, and Americans, it's all interspersed, just yards away, a block away from the worst poverty you could find anywhere. It's a very strange part of New York City, and just a pathetic, gruesome chicken spit murder, 20-year-old mom gunned down, pushing her 3-month-old baby. And again, I really don't care what the 20-year-old mom did. You kidding me? I don't care if this is from the bat. I mean, this could be a billionaire, like I said, or somebody who has nothing. It could be from a drug deal gone wrong or something, or it could have been a ransom wasn't paid with a billionaire. I don't know, but this is how much worse does it have to get than somebody walking up and executing a 20-year-old mom pushing a 3-month-old baby in a stroller? When are we going to become civilized again? When are we going to become serious again in this country about the important things, not pronouns, not the unimportant, the important things, law and order? When are we going to be serious again? Because it's sitting here right before us. We've spent a lot of time on guns and mass shootings and abortion and all these things, and it's not that these aren't important and that people don't care. But our safety is paramount in everything that we do. We have open borders, people pouring in, a percentage of whom are criminals that are coming here as criminals with drug cartels to commit more crimes. And we're just allowing it. When do we get serious about this? How can we not look at a chart and say, wow, in 1970, we were better at convicting killers than we are today. And we were better by almost a 2-to-1 margin. We're almost twice as good at this 50 years ago as we are today. You cannot look at the numbers and not ask why and not come to the conclusion that we're not very serious about this. We just want to leave people alone. Oh, killers have rights too. Killers, murderers have rights. They have rights. It's not that important that we catch them. You know, this is just insane what we've become and what's happening. It's a very, very, very sad situation. Something to think about and a stat that I simply didn't know. I did not know we were this bad at solving crimes. Big crimes, murders. Oh, they're really good at finding, you know, political white-collar criminals and, you know, drumming up charges and throwing them in jail for a night before they take all their computers and all their phones and find out they did nothing. There's lots of that going on. We got an army of people out there doing that. But we can't solve these crimes in Chicago or New York. We leave it up to local authorities, and they don't care. The mayors don't care. Mayors don't care. That's their votes. Those neighborhoods are their votes. And instead of making them safer places to live, they kowtow to it and say our justice system has been unjust for years. You know, we've incarcerated people for too long, incarcerated the wrong people. There is reparations need to be made. There's a reason this is happening. It's not their fault. You can come up with one excuse after another. What needs to happen is if you commit a violent crime in this country, you go to jail for a long, long time, if not life. That's where we need to get. We're happy to be sponsored by our friends at Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence, online at medimageks.com. The team there will work with you in a swift way, an efficient way. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, why would you stay? If your doctor says, okay, get this scan, and you have your own insurance, and you're in a hospital system, and you call over to where they send you, and they say, yeah, we can get you in the third week of July. When you need that scan, why would you wait 3 weeks? Well, you don't have to. Your insurance is accepted here, and Advanced Medical Imaging will get you in today or tomorrow, depending on what time of day you call. They accept all major insurance at Advanced Medical Imaging. Could be a few more minutes to drive to Lawrence, but I went there and did the heart scan, and I was, after once I became a patient and filled out the forms, whatever, when I went back to have the scan done, I was done in, I think, 6 or 7 minutes. Didn't even have to take my shirt off. They put the little electrode things on my chest underneath my shirt. Didn't take my shoes off, nothing. Just laid there, did my thing, out. They sent it off to radiologists. They came back. I've got a zero plaque score on my heart scan. It's a wonderful option. You may not need an MRI or a CT scan, but I would recommend to anyone over 40 to get the heart scan done, and you can do that for under $100 at Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindquist and his team will help your team become more productive and efficient. I receive emails from companies who say, you're right about Mark. He does not miss any details. And the equipment and services they're providing for us right now are saving us money and making us better at our business. That's all they do. There's nothing to lose. There's no cost to make the call and have them come out and take a look at what you're doing. They will only save you money and make you more efficient. They can get you out of your current leases on equipment that you may have that's outdated or not as good as what Mark has. Make this call, 913-745-5344 for any of your office needs, 360documentsolutions.com. Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, anywhere here, really in the Midwest, entire Missouri part area, St. Joseph. If you're looking to build a home or even a commercial property, Back 9 Development is here for you. TJ Vilkanskis and his team love the personal touch. He gets involved in every level of your project. If you think he might be a good fit, it's worth sitting down and speaking with him about your project. Call TJ at 785-236-0161 to see his portfolio of outstanding properties. Go to back9development.com. And of course, my buddies over at Finch Knife Co., online at finchknifeco.com. This weekend coming up, you want to get out and get a new Finch knife, keep life from getting dull, go to the Bullet Hole in Overland Park, Shields in Overland Park, or Teague Tractor in Belton, and see the collection of wonderful pocket knives with Americana themes. They're wonderful. The 1929 collection right now is being released beginning in July with all new handles on their knives that are an homage to the Grand Tetons. Beautiful knives. FinchKnifeCo.com. We've learned what caused the death of the three Americans that were at the Sandals Resort in the Bahamas in early May. This was one of those stories that, remember, we had a rash of these things happen in the Dominican a few years ago that were related to alcohol poisoning. And they had mini bars in a lot of the resorts in Dominican where people who would work there would replace in the bottles that were in the rooms. I'm just taking a brand here, okay? I'm not saying this is exactly what they did. They would take, for example, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and when it was empty, or they'd empty it themselves and take it, they would replace it with a local knockoff, ripoff whiskey and put it in the bottle and pawn it off as Jack. People got poisoned from some of this stuff. A lot of it was made locally. It was not in any way regulated or checked, and some people died because of bad alcohol. These were just people that worked at the resort that did it. They were running a scam, and they did that. So some people died. That was a few years ago. This one had the markings of the same thing. You're like, well, wait a second. What happened? They went back to their rooms. What was odd about this Sandals is there's a hotel there. There's also some like bungalows or villas. This was one building that had two rooms. So it's one building that's like a two-group unit. And three people total went back in the middle of the afternoon, apparently. It was hot, to cool off a little bit. They are not blaming the entire air conditioning at Sandals Bahamas. It was an isolated incident. There was no foul play. I think they knew right away when they got there because they likely didn't see a bunch of booze everywhere, drugs. There was nothing violent. These people were just peacefully dead. And it's carbon monoxide poisoning. It's what everybody thought at the time. They would have known the second they walked in, hey, this is what it looks like. So they've said that, but the Bahamian authorities still are not saying what it's from. I mean, it had to be from the air conditioning system. It just had to be somehow from that system, or what, the cooling system and refrigerators or something that might have been in the room. But they will not say that. They are saying it's isolated, no foul play. What they're trying to say here, I think, is this was not the air conditioning at Sandals, which is a massive resort, and they likely have their own generator, and you know, it all comes from one place and gets centrally located at different places. This could have likely been a building with separate air conditioning units that malfunctioned, weren't maintained properly, whatever, and these folks died. I just think that's a horrible way to die. Now, I guess in many ways, it's peaceful. I think you pass out and don't know it. You don't smell carbon monoxide, right? So I think you don't smell it. I think you breathe it in, and you get dizzy, and you pass out, and then you keep breathing it, and then you die, and you don't know. So it's probably, of ways to die, a relatively peaceful way to go. I could be wrong, but what a horrific thing to go on vacation and have poison air in your room kill you. It's just one of the saddest things ever. But they have now announced that all three Americans that died at Sandals in the Bahamas, carbon monoxide poisoning. They basically asphyxiated, choked to death, stopped breathing from carbon monoxide. Terrible stuff. World news. This is interesting. The G7 summit is taking place. It's not really, you know, here's what's really sad about so many things that are going on is they're not worth watching or paying attention to. Like, we've stayed away from the January 6th stuff. It's a complete sham. And the lady that they just trotted out this week to make up stories about Trump was a joke. Those stories were refuted by the person that Trump allegedly grabbed within an hour. The Secret Service agent said, no, that did not happen. What that lady just said in front of this committee did not happen. That took like less than an hour. That's a clown show. So we ignore stuff like that here. And the G7's kind of been a clown show. You know, it used to be we think these leaders would get together and it would be productive and meaningful. There's a lot of lefties here now. Okay, these other countries are, wow. So they get over there a few days ago. They're joking about a photo op. Should we leave our jackets on, take them off? Somebody makes a joke. Boris Johnson makes a joke. I guess we leave them on. We don't want to take our clothes off like Putin. And they're sitting around the table at a photo op making fun of Vladimir Putin, which I guess I don't have that much problem with. I don't think that's going to lead to some nuclear war, but you know, crazier things have happened. Putin's comeback to this, because he was clearly upset that he was being mocked by other world leaders. Putin's got this Putin, he's got a vanity to him that most people don't have. We've seen him horseback riding with his shirt off at the beach, shooting guns, being active. I'm Vladimir Putin. Look at my physique, even at my age. His comeback to these people is really all you need to know. His comeback is stop abusing alcohol and other bad habits, and it would be disgusting if any of you took your shirt off. His comeback to them is, I'm in better shape than you. I'm a better person than you. Stop abusing alcohol and other bad habits. That's his comeback. I don't know what's going on anymore, folks. When I say that some of this stuff is just too silly and absurd to talk about or get serious about, these are the people with the nuclear codes. These are the countries deciding the fate of whether or not something really big happens. And this, they mock each other by taking their shirt off and then mock back about abusing alcohol or other bad health habits. This is what's going on with the people that are actually in power. I mean, a history lesson is needed very quickly here. Very quickly. Does this escalate? When you revert back to, you know, the playground as a third grader, and you're mocking the other kids for whatever reason, and you're picking on little Jimmy over here. When you're doing that, when you're making fun of him in front of the other group, nanny, nanny, ha, ha. In the third grade, you don't have the nuclear codes. How does this work with adults? How does it work with largely a bunch of old men, which is what we've got here? And they start poking each other with these jokes. Man, this all just looks so unserious and silly. The more we move toward one world, this global thing, the sillier it looks. And there's a reason why, folks. These other countries are not the United States. They're not as exceptional. They're not as great. And we are falling into their trap. We're becoming them. They're not becoming us. World War II, when it ended, there was a massive shift in this world, that the world was becoming more like America. You don't have to look any further than Japan. What's happened in Japan since World War II? By the way, they have the lowest inflation rate of any of the countries that we're talking about here. Their inflation rate's like 2%. All these other countries have lower inflation rates than we do. Biden's doing this on purpose. We know what the game is. We know what the long game is here. But all these countries after World War II became Americanized. The people in charge in our country right now don't like that history. They think it's mean that we did that. They want to send Japan back to what they were under their dictatorship and oppression, not their democracy, freedom, and economic excellence that they have today. Same with all these other countries. We joke that we've saved France how many times? Many. We've saved Europe many times. We've done this. But now, suddenly, the country they had to call on to save them because they were doing everything wrong, or they weren't good enough to save themselves. Right? Now we want to be them? And they're all just sitting around making jokes about each other. Should we leave our jackets on or off? I don't want to be shirtless like Putin. Putin fires back. Oh, you guys drink too much. This is real? This is happening? I want to take this stuff serious, but sometimes you just can't. I always take the folks at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC seriously. Mike and his team are committed to you to have an excellent shopping experience for any vehicle. There comes with a lifetime warranty. Why would you buy a Chevy, Buick, or GMC anywhere else that wants to charge you $1,500 for a lifetime warranty when you can get it absolutely free and included at Roberts Robinson on every new vehicle they sell? 0% on most GMC and Buick vehicles, 1.9 on Chevy Silverados, over 60 in stock or have it built. Go online, robertsrobinson.com. BeStock.net has a steal of a deal on the Samsung 65 Neos. These are $1,400. This is the Cadillac of the Samsung television line. It is an unbelievable TV. $1,400 at Best Buy. Samsung's website has them for $1,400. BeStock, $899 while they last. Mention KKHI at BeStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And Dr. Jeremy and his team of orthodontists at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. I have had a continuing and ongoing email relationship now. Relationship's a weird word. I don't want to say that. Email exchange with the now famous 13-year-old listener of KKHI that is in the chair at Fry Orthodontics and getting a perfect smile for life. And it's been just so much fun. I think it's really cool to talk politics with a 13-year-old and know where a person like that is going in life and how this person will excel. It's just been a lot of fun. But they're definitely enjoying their experience at Fry Orthodontics. And you will too. There's 12 locations around the area, so there's one right around the corner. Your first appointment's free. If you mention KKHI, they'll do a consultation with you and say, hey, here's the order of things that we could do, or here's a possible treatment plan for you, and you're just going to like it. Remember, you get free retainers for life. That's important because your teenager is going to lose their retainer or break them. And Invisalign is the same price as braces. And that is an excellent idea for a lot of folks. So check it all out. Get that beautiful smile for a lifetime at Fry Orthodontics. Your smile is just the start. Zach Greinke has been smiling. We said on the podcast a week ago that Greinke was coming back from his injury for the Royals, and he's looking for his first win. Like, it's almost the end of June, and Zach Greinke doesn't have a win. Well, now he has 2 in 6 days. The Royals went 2-4 on the homestand. Both games they won were games that Greinke started. He is mixing in a cutter now. It's amazing how you have to reinvent yourself as you go on in baseball. He's adding in a pitch called a cutter, which is a little different than his regular slider. And he's thrown it before, but he got away from it. And I think you can become predictable, and hitters know that. Zach Greinke was really good. The Royals beat the Rangers. This was his 500th start in Major League Baseball. There was a time I wasn't sure he was ever going to start. Remember, Greinke was in the bullpen. Then he left baseball for a year, and he had some sort of a problem, and we don't know exactly what. And 500 starts later, hundreds of millions of dollars, some outstanding numbers. Zach Greinke is not much on numbers. He previously said he only had one goal, one statistical goal in his career, and that was to join the pitcher's club of pitchers with 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases. Like, his goals have always been about playing shortstop or getting at bats or offensive numbers. That's always been a thing to him. But he said after the game, after beating the Rangers, that's a pretty neat little number, 500 starts. So that's a guy who knows he's nearing the end, and he looks back and he thinks, I started 500 games in Major League Baseball. That is really, really, really cool. Greinke doesn't care much for stats, and he doesn't think much about things like that, but I guess he didn't know until a couple of weeks ago number 500 was coming. And he thought, well, that's really cool. And he went out and he pitched very, very well, and the Royals were able to win a game. How about that? Royals were able to win a game. In other baseball news, Wednesday night, Mark Appel made his major league debut with the Phillies. I was watching this. It was on MLB Network. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, Mark Appel? I didn't know. And then they popped up, major league debut tonight. I'm like, what? I said, I must have the name wrong. There's supposed to be another guy with the same last name, because it's been like 10 years since Mark Appel was the number one pick in the draft. This can't be him. And it was. Mark Appel was the number one pick in the 2013 draft by the Houston Astros. And he never made it to the big leagues with the Astros. He quit baseball in 2018, sat out 3 years, came back last year, 21, and started a comeback. He had a 1.6 earned run average in AAA with the Phillies. They called him up, and he had a flawless inning last night as a reliever. He made his major league debut. Now, if he invested his money that he got when he was picked number one overall in 2013, I'm sure financially he's fine. The markets have gone bonkers since then. If he invested his money, he should just be in great shape for life. Not all ballplayers do that, and that's really not our concern. But either way, whether he had the money or went broke and came back, there's a story of perseverance here and tenacity that has to be recognized. That is 9 years ago. You were the number one pick. You were embarrassed. You didn't make it. You were out of baseball. You sat out for 3 years. You came back. He's throwing 97 miles an hour, and he looks really good. I like stories like this. I don't know what all of his demons were. I don't know what happened. I can't give you the whole backstory and tell you it's some feel good, but I'm watching a guy make a major league debut that I was thinking, hey, this. I remember the Royals drafted high that year. And I thought, well, maybe they'll draft this pitcher, Mark Appel. Maybe that's possible. Well, he went number one, and the Royals drafted number 8 that year. I looked it up this morning. The Royals took Hunter Dozier, shortstop. He was a shortstop then. About five picks in front of Tim Anderson, shortstop. And about 20 picks in front of outfielder Aaron Judge. Oh, it's bad to go back and look at Royals drafts. You don't want to do that. Hunter Dozier's a nice player. He's fine. He's fine, but he's not really. I think it might have been all pitchers up there in front of him. Maybe one position player, but it was almost all pitchers. The Royals thought, we just drafted the best offensive player in this draft when they drafted Hunter Dozier. That's what they thought. They thought they drafted Aaron Judge. They just forgot to draft Aaron Judge. They got Hunter Dozier instead. It's kind of how it goes with the Royals. It's kind of how it goes. It's never good to go back and look at those drafts. Will it be good to go back and look at the new Big 12 commissioner and say the Big 12 got it right? Yormark is the new commissioner of the Big 12. His resume was 6 years at NASCAR working on behalf of the Nextel sponsorship. Nextel's gone, defunct. He was then CEO of the Brooklyn Nets and oversaw the move from the Nets from New Jersey to Brooklyn and the building of the facility there, the Barclays Center. Then he parlayed that into becoming friends with Jay-Z, media mogul Jay-Z, music mogul, and became the president of Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's company, and that's what he's been doing most recently. Brett Yormark is most certainly tied in with all kinds of people in entertainment, sports, celebrities, media, all these things. His expertise and his closest ties are to basketball people. When I heard Brett Yormark was going to be the new commissioner of the Big 12, I thought, the Big 12 is about to shift away from football and become a basketball league. That's my initial thought. They're going to go the Big East model, but they're not going to drop football. They're going to keep football, but that won't be the emphasis. The emphasis here will be this is the basketball conference. We've picked a commissioner that knows everybody in the NBA, all the best basketball contacts all over the country. We've had 3 years in a row where our team in this league has been in the national championship game, and we are turning this into a basketball league. That's what this says to me. I'm not alone. Others believe that too. So is this the right move? No, I hate it. The money's in football. The athletic departments should be rooted in football. But it continues a trend that the Pac-12, they hired George Klyavkov, who was a CEO of MGM Resorts, to be their commissioner. Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, was an executive with the Minnesota Vikings. So it continues a trend of people who are not in college athletics. They're not ADs. They're not university presidents. They don't work at the NCAA. It's not an assistant commissioner from another league. The trend here in hiring commissioners is to try to find somebody from another world, another business world than NCAA athletics that brings a fresh perspective and can bring new money. This could be a great hire. Brett Yormark instantly has to understand that the money is in football in this league. He can shift this thing toward basketball if he wants. That's fine. Here's what happened. There were public comments by Gene Taylor, the athletic director at Kansas State. They were pushing for Oliver Luck, who's been an NCAA insider forever at West Virginia and other places. Gene Taylor spoke out, said, we want somebody who understands college athletics. Most of us in this league are in agreement that that's what we want to do. We want somebody who really understands college athletics to be our next commissioner. Gene Taylor didn't get what he wanted here, and neither did a lot of the other ADs in this league. And people at Oklahoma and Texas are probably laughing now. Here's why. There was a three-president/chancellor executive committee. These three were in charge of finding and recommending a candidate to the other presidents of this league to vote. So the three of them go and say, okay, we found our person. Here's this person. Let's take a vote of the 10 of us. We strongly recommend that this is it. And this is our guy. Brett Yormark is our guy. Who were the three on the executive committee? Well, they just happened to be the presidents from the three schools that have all just played in the last three national championship basketball games. Doug Girard from Kansas, the Texas Tech president, and the Baylor president. These three schools have represented the Big 12, and Baylor and Kansas won. Texas Tech lost in overtime. They were all in the national title basketball game. Those three alone were charged with going out and finding the next commissioner, and they found themselves a person connected in basketball like nobody else. This league is going to be a basketball league. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot in football. If this is where they're going, unless they tell Yormark something else, that's where he's taking them. All the people he knows are in basketball, and he is so connected there. And that's where they're headed. This could be about NIL. This could be about money for basketball players. This could be about working with Jay-Z and all these contacts that he has. Let's get all these stud players, funnel them through our conference. We have the connections to agents, to Jay-Z, to the NBA. We've got all these connections. Let's get the best players in America to come funneling through here in this league. That's what this looks like to me. We'll see. We'll see. I think this signals that the new Big 12 is not going to have much of a priority on football, that it's going to be a basketball league. Time will tell. Time, of course, will tell. Former college basketball player Doug Gottlieb is a radio and podcast host, and he put a tweet out. This is interesting. He put out a tweet, and he knows somebody, and he's right. He has not pulled this tweet down. There's a baseball agent named Casey Close. Casey Close was the agent, was the agent for stud baseball player Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman was with the Braves. He was in free agency. The Braves were offering money. The Dodgers were offering more. The Braves offered money. The Dodgers offered more. Doug Gottlieb took to Twitter and said Casey Close was fired by Freddie Freeman because Freddie Freeman just found out that the Braves' last offer to Freeman, the agent never told Freeman about it. Let me see if I can clean that up audibly for you as a professional announcer. The last offer the Braves made to Freddie Freeman never knew about because his agent didn't tell him. His agent wanted the bigger deal in LA because the agent makes more money that way. You get a percentage. It's like a realtor. We want you to buy the more expensive house. Please, let's get the more expensive one. There's more money in it for me. Right? Same thing here. So Gottlieb puts this on Twitter. Casey Close immediately blasts back that this is inaccurate and wrong, and that Casey Close, the agent, is evaluating all legal options against Doug Gottlieb. Wow. I mean, this one hit home with Casey Close, the agent. Really hit home. The tweet is still up. Doug Gottlieb has not responded to that. He has not pulled the tweet down. He is not backing down from what he said. Gottlieb's got the story, and he's got the story right, and the agent knows it. And this threatens the agent going forward. I mean, what baseball player would not fire him if that's truly the case? The Braves can confirm this. They would know. And Freddie Freeman, he knows what he heard and what he didn't hear from his agent. This could be the end of this agent's career. They say this happens in baseball, that a lot of times agent will just decide, my client doesn't need to see that. I'll not bother him today with that. But the final offer from the Braves, you don't show it to Freddie Freeman? Woo! That is some big time stuff right there. How about this one? Howard Stern, who I haven't heard in years. Howard Stern, the self-proclaimed king of all media, says that he's probably got to run for president now. Now that the Supreme Court's done what they've done with Roe, he probably has to run for president. He went on a rant against Clarence Thomas, Donald Trump. He says politicians that run for president have too broad of an agenda. They're worried about too many things. That when he runs, he's going to whittle it down. His producer says, I think I've convinced him reluctantly to run. Now, whether this is a stunt for his radio show or whether he's serious, I don't know. I don't rule anything out in America. I've watched an electorate that's so crazy and so lacking in Democrat candidates right now that maybe Howard Stern could become their nominee. I don't know. I won't rule it out. You just can't. I'd love it if he ran as an independent, but whatever. He says there's too much. They get too bogged down in things that are going on and too broad of an agenda. That his agenda when he runs for president is real simple. He's going to legalize abortion. He's going to pack the Supreme Court, and he's going to get rid of the Electoral College. Oh, okay. There's some good work for the American people. Thanks, Howard, for thinking this through. What a genius you are. What did you just do for the American people? What you did was stuff for Democrats. That's all you did to have a uniparty. One power rule. Each of those moves leads to one power rule. The end of democracy. That's all this is. That's his platform. End democracy. Move left. It's hysterical. The guy takes himself seriously on these things. And that's his plan. There's nothing in there for any citizens. I don't know citizens really, other than extremists that don't want democracy, that don't want to have free and fair elections. Would it be great if we were just in control for the next 50 years on the right? Sure, I'd like that. But I don't want to stack it. I don't want to change the laws. I don't want to rig it. We need to be what the American people want us to be. I believe that. And you can believe me when I tell you I know a couple of people in the contracting business that are outstanding. One is Tim Cross at Cross Kitchens. I spent some time with him yesterday. We had a couple of beers yesterday afternoon. He had played a round of golf, was kind of in my neighborhood, and he did a thing with this group he gets together with, I think, like maybe once a year. And I said, hey, I'm going to be in the area. You want to stop and have a cold one after your round? He said, yeah. So I was with him and his friend Ron for probably almost an hour, a little more than an hour yesterday. What a neat guy this is. And he's got a wonderful business, Cross Kitchens KC, and we talked about it. He's got four or five of you that are already on the schedule to have your kitchen remodeled. And he spoke with another one yesterday from the golf course that said, yes, you're in. So a lot of folks listening to KKHI are calling Tim over at Cross Kitchens. You're going to be real happy with the work. If you do, if you decide to remodel, if you decide a project is in order, whether it's a bathroom or a kitchen or whatever, if you decide to go that route, all we're asking is you give Tim a chance to earn your business. Just a chance to earn it. Interview another company, that's fine. Give him a foothold, give him a chance, get him in the door, and I think you're going to find him to be very likable. He also looks a little bit like Luke Bryan, the country singer. So if you're a Luke Bryan fan, he looks a little bit like Luke Bryan. He's younger than Luke Bryan. I think maybe Luke Bryan's a little taller. I don't know. I can't say that. I don't know. He's got a little Luke Bryan in him now. You want Luke Bryan to remodel your kitchen? There you go. CrossKitchensKC.com. And, of course, my friend Ron Buck over at Buck Roofing, who we've been with for, oh, gosh, close to 20 years now, I would think. And so many of you have had free roof inspections, small jobs done for free, or complete re-roofing. And you just have great experiences with my man Ron at Buck Roofing. He is the best. He's a big sports fan. He likes the Royals. He's ready for football season. I can tell you right now what Ron Buck is ready for. He likes the lake. He likes summertime. So he's not wishing his summer away. Ron loves him some football. And he'll be ready to rock on that. And I am too. We're, less than a month away from the Chiefs being in camp. And then it is on for football season at KKHI. We have crossed 20,000. We have 20,000 daily followers now. Subscribers of the podcast. It's a great number, and it is all because of you. And I cannot thank you enough for sharing with your friends. People come up to me and they say, hey, I've been following you for over a year, but I got my friend to listen once and hit that like and follow button, and now they know and they like it. And while that friend they told may not listen every single day, I'm part of the podcast group, and that puts them in the fold. That's really cool stuff. It really is. It's a magical thing for you to be spreading the word and, you know, growing this and getting some conservative media in our part of the country out there when so much of what's owned by all these corporations is clearly working in the opposite direction. I can't thank you enough. 20,000, I never thought we'd have 20,000 followers of the podcast. That's fantastic. Thank you. So that's now more, we have more followers of the podcast than I have Twitter followers, which is just unbelievable to me. More people subscribe to the podcast than follow me on Twitter. It also says, almost none of you are on Twitter or don't care to be on Twitter. You may have set it up at one point and you don't use, like, this audience doesn't use Twitter a lot. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. If you do want to follow me on Twitter, it's at KK Has Issues, or follow on Truth Social at KK Has Issues. And I don't post a lot. I don't. It's usually related to the podcast, or when football starts back up, I post a lot of, I tweet a lot of things during Chiefs games and things like that. People seem to like that. But maybe I'll do more. If more of you go sign up and start following and it seems like it matters, maybe I'll do more. It just doesn't seem like that's all important to all you folks. And really, I do this for you, and I do Twitter for you. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm there for those of you that are following there, whatever. And if more of you are there and enjoy that, I'll do more of it. But until then, it seems like you like this more than that, and I'm totally great with that. Thanks so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC.
to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.